Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Come, let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd have your will with us, have your way with us. This morning, as your word is preached, but as your word is read, as the scripture is read over our church, Father, I pray that you would give us a vision, a glimpse, a fresh look at another kind of life, at the life that you have not only designed for us, but that you enable by the power of your Spirit for us to lead. And I pray that there would be strength built into every single person who's hungry for your word and for your presence today, that there would be a faith that is imparted into our hearts and into our lives, that there would be a strength of mentality, a decision to follow you in deeper and more profound and more surrendered and more submitted ways, and Lord, that there'd be a bravery and a courage that finds its way into our hearts, but most of all, that there would be an impartation, that there would not be words listened to, but that there would be a spirit received this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody in 10:30 said, amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Please do have a seat. A couple of years ago, Pastor Ken and I had the privilege of being at the World Trade Center Ground Zero Memorial site, and it was a profoundly moving experience. And as you go through that experience, The journey is quite something, but you get to see firstly the pictures of the Twin Towers as they stood before that fateful, terrible day on September 11, 2001. They take you through the construction of these towers, and you begin to get a sense and a glimpse of just how strong they were and how long it took to build. But how many of you know that after September 11 happened, within a couple of hours of the impact of those planes, both of those towers fell? And it was traumatizing to see the footage again of how that happened, and to see the sight and to see the aftermath and to see people walking down Wall Street in New York with covered in dust and just completely disorientated. It's quite something to see the journey and relive the journey again. Who of you can remember where you were the moment you heard the news in 2001? And the thought that struck me is, as strong as those buildings were, the shaking that took place in the foundations was such that they were not able to stand. They were so forcefully shaken that they fell. And it got me thinking about in our lives and in our world, how everything shakes. Politics shakes. Economics shakes. Family life can shake. Our finances can shake. Our health can shake. Our future can feel shakeable. Are you with me? Divorce can shake us. Getting married can shake us. Retiring can shake us. A diagnosis can shake us. Are you with me? There's so much that shakes us. We're in this series at the moment. If you're new to us, we're in a series called Another Kind of Life. And today, the other kind of life that Christ offers us is an unshakable existence. And the title of the message today is, We Are Unshakable. Everybody say unshakable. Now, when you get to the shakeable part, you got to give it a little bit of expression. We are unshakable. If you're from Brakpan, say it louder. We are unshakable. If you're from Rehoboth, unshakable. You see now. Can we give it up for Rehoboth, everybody? Yeah. The thing is, we live in a shakeable world, and if you and I are not careful, the atmosphere, the temperature, the ambient zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, the thing that's in the air, which is uncertainty, insecurity, fear, worry, concern, the shakeability of the world can infuse its way. It can find its way into your heart and into my heart if we're not careful about it, if we're not thoughtful about it, if we're not prayerful about it, and if we're not strategic about it. They actually call that term cultural assimilation. Cultural assimilation is simply when a minority group or person in the minority finds themselves in the majority and they begin to act, speak, and think like the majority. So if you're from Joburg and you move to Durban, within 5 years, you're going to be eating bunny chows. You're going to be talking and you're going to be saying, and all, at the end of your sentences. And all. If you're an American and you live in the work at the American Embassy in Sandton and you spend an extended period of time in South Africa, all of a sudden you're no longer going to be calling your barbecue a barbecue. You're going to be calling it a braai. And you're going to be saying things like, I'll see you just now or now, now. Are you with me? Cultural assimilation. And our world can culturally assimilate us, such that we begin to think, speak, act, and internalize what's going on around us. The shakeability of the world can find its way into our hearts and into our souls if we're not careful. Are you with me today? It's almost like you and I can live with this sense of dread or the sense of disquiet or the sense of wondering what's going to happen in the future, almost like we're just waiting for the shaking. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus has not designed us to live like that. Three big fears that shake us as human beings: not being enough, not having enough, and being alone. Not being enough is questions that we ask ourselves around failure, around significance. Not having enough are the questions we ask ourselves around our future, around our provision, around our kids, around our future, etc. And being alone is this deep-seated fear that, is there anybody in this world that I can really, truly depend upon? These are the fears that can shake us. But let me say it again. Jesus has not designed us. He has not created us to live in that way. If you and I aren't careful, we can begin to lose our optimism. We can begin to lose our faith. We can begin to lose and lower the expectation that we have for the future. You know, it was Aristotle. He said, fear is just the anticipation of evil. Think about anything that you're fearful for. The root cause of it is that you're fearful that there would be evil in that particular area of your life. Fear is just the anticipation of evil. But perfect love drives out fear. You see, we have to live with evil this side of eternity. In this world that we live in right now, we have to put up with evil, but we don't have to live with fear. And there's a profound difference. We'll get to it. In 1941, President Franklin D. Roosevelt was the president of the United States. And at that stage, the U.S. was not yet involved in the Second World War, but they were about to become involved very shortly. And in 1941, he delivered one of his most well-known and important speeches to Congress and the American people. And he entitled this speech, The Four Freedoms. The Four Freedoms. It was the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, the freedom from want, and the freedom from fear. And an artist called Norman Rockwell picked up on one of those speeches called The Freedom from Fear, and he painted the picture that you see on the screen. And the artist was in his own way depicting what it looks like to live free from fear. And he chose the visual of two young kids being put to bed by their loving parents in a loving, safe, stable, and secure home. And he chose that as the visual to depict a way to live free from fear. And I love the picture because it kind of gives us this sense, this view, this picture, this visual of what it looks like to live safely and securely. Like kids going to bed in a safe, stable, secure home with loving parents watching over them. It's a visual of the way God has designed us to live as human beings, as Christ-following human beings. And this is not just some image, this is a deeply rooted theological view. This is not just a painting, it's actually the theology of how God has designed us to live. Because we see the same thing happening. We see the same sense of calm. We see the same unshakability in Jesus. Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus, one day, Matthew 8, Jesus was in a boat with his disciples. He started across the lake. Suddenly a fierce storm strikes the lake with waves breaking in the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. In the middle of it, Christ is unshakable. In the middle of it, he's safe, he's secure. In the middle of it, he's resting. This is why I say it's not just a picture, it's a theological view of how God has actually designed us to live. It's not simply located in the New Testament. The Old Testament tells us that this is a possibility as well. The psalmist, King David himself, writes, the writer of the 23rd Psalm, he writes, the famous psalm that so many of us know, "The Lord is my..." And even when I walk through the darkest valley, what? "I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me." So there's this visual that I want you to grab from that picture. There's this truth that threads throughout Scripture, that it's whether it's the New Testament or the Old Testament, there is a way that God has designed and ordained and mandated us to live. And it is not culturally assimilated to our world. It is not to absorb the fear and uncertainty of our world, but it is instead to be able to live unshakably with our feet planted in the truth of who we are and whose we are. And so the question then becomes at this point in time in the message, well, that sounds nice, but how do we live like that? How do we live the reality of sleeping in a boat? How do we live the reality of going to bed safe and secure with our parents watching over? How do we live in the valley of the shadow of death with not being afraid with him close beside? How do we live like that? And I want to suggest to you that it comes from something a lot deeper than 7 techniques or 5 steps or 3 points. It comes from a deep-seated theological adjustment in our lives. The theological adjustment is this: though we live in the world, we are not of the world, nor do we belong to the world, nor are we ruled by the world. Are you with me? Now, when we see Jesus sleeping in the boat, that is not license for sleeping in church. Are you with me? I don't want you to feel so safe and so secure. And you go, you know what, I'm feeling so safe and secure. I'm in church and I'm having a sleep. How we find another kind of life is we find another theology. Track with me. John 18, 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom." Can you say amen? Remember, the better you respond, the shorter I preach. I'm still loving that, the fact that there's just a small little amen. There's not really anybody really cheering for it, so it's okay. John 17, Jesus says, praying for us now. He says, "I'm not asking, Father, that you take them out of the world, but to rather keep them safe from the evil one." Listen to his words. "They do not belong to this world any more than I do." Are you getting the sense? Are you grabbing a hold of the picture? Hebrews 12, 28, the writer of Hebrews says, "And since we are receiving a kingdom that is un..." Remember, you've got to put a little bit of shake in the shakeable. You know, we're receiving a kingdom that's not, or that is unshakable. Are you with me? We belong to a different kingdom. We're in this world, we're not. Years ago, my parents bought my two brothers and I for Christmas one year a dinghy, a blow-up raft, one of these blow-up boats. Seen these things? You can buy them at Macro and Game, you know. Many of you have probably bought your own kids these things. Well, years ago, my two brothers and I got this as like a Christmas gift together. And because we're boys, how many of you know we didn't just sit in the raft? Or rather, what we decided to do would be, we would run and take running jumps and then jump into the raft. We would jump from the tree above the pool into the raft to see if there's any difference in the impact when you land with your feet or whether you land on your back. How many of you know that, boys, that's what we do? Well, you know where this is headed. It didn't take long before the boat got holes in it. The boat got pretty much destroyed. And before you know it, we would sit in the boat and we'd be in the boat, but pretty soon there'd be more water in the boat than what there was water in the pool almost. Got me thinking about how we're not of this kingdom. We're not of this world. You see, because we, when you're in the boat, you're in the water, but the water's not in the boat when it's holding. You with me? It's a picture of our life in the kingdom. When you're in the boat, and the boat is good and not destroyed like ours, when you're in the boat, you're in the water, but you're not in the water. You're not floundering. You're not flapping. Are you with me? When you're in the boat, you're in the water, but you're not in the water like that. When you're in the boat, you're in the water, but the water's not in the boat. We're in the world, but the world's not in us. Are you with me? We're in the water, but we're not in the water like they're in the water. Not in the world like everybody else is in the water. Are you with me? Because we're part of a different kingdom, we have a different king. See, when you trade kingdoms, you trade kings. You trade lords. The lord of your life stops becoming me. It becomes him. The greatest opposition to the kingdom of God is the kingdom of me. No, Dallas Willard said that. The greatest opposition to the kingdom of God is the kingdom of? And because we're of a different kingdom, because we have a different kingdom, because we have access to another kind of life, a life lived in that kingdom, we have a different king ruling over our lives if we'll let him. I want to give you a picture this morning of the king that is in charge of our lives. And I'm hoping that as the text is read, it'll wash over you. It'll impart something into you. The words will take root in your life. I'm praying that every single word from the text will find its way deep into your heart, that it'll change the internal architecture of your world. Colossians chapter 1, and if you're taking notes today, obviously you know you'll get to heaven quicker, but more than that, this would be a text that you want to take a picture of, that you want to take notes of. It's impossible for a man and woman to be interested in Jesus and not to have Colossians chapter 1 deeply, deeply part of their lives. If you're interested in Jesus at all, this text is essential. Can I get some amens? Amen. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17. This is the king of the kingdom. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. The picture that I want to leave you with today is that when you and I understand that we belong to a different kingdom, that we're in the water, but we're in the boat in the water, and the water's not in the boat, we have a different king. And this king holds everything together. He holds the cosmos together. He breathed it into existence with his mouth. Everything was created in him, for him, through him, and by him. There is nothing in all of creation that escapes his notice. There is nothing beyond the ambit of his power. His power is complete and utter and total, and he is in charge of your life, if you'll let him. So he holds your world together and my world together. How would your life on Monday change if that truth really, truly sank into your life? It's not to mean that we can't do things and there's no consequences. It's not to mean that we don't have agency in our own lives. It is to say that when our lives are surrendered and submitted and beyond and within the control and the authority and the lordship of Christ, he rules over it and he holds your life, my friends, in his hands. The second image of the king that I want to leave you with is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, and he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Here's the truth. The king who holds everything together is also your shepherd and my shepherd. Can you fathom that he holds the entire universe in his hand? That's how wide his scope is. And yet he holds your life in his gaze. That's how narrow his focus is. Are you with me? Can you fathom and grasp the wideness of Christ and the focus of Christ? That the same one through whom it all was created is also the one who was so interested in you and in me that he holds your life like this. In fact, the scripture says that God has the palms of his hands tattooed with your name on it. How incredible, how wonderful, how mind-blowing. What good news. What an unshakable existence we actually have when we simply surrender, submit, and place our lives under his lordship. We are immensely safe, completely safe, totally secure. Our lives are impenetrable. They are unshakable. They are immovable. They are unbreakable. Is this sinking in for you today? How would you live differently if you really genuinely had a revelation that the King who holds it all together is also your shepherd? And because we have a different King, we're also a different people. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. That's why I say we're in the boat. Church, you and I, we don't have to absorb and assimilate and take on and take in the fear and the shaking in our world. We don't have to live with fear, the anticipation of evil. We don't have to live with that. We don't have to live just waiting for the next shaking, uncertain of the future, insecure about what's going to happen in our lives. We have access to another kind of life, an unshakable life, because we're part of an unshakable kingdom. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you traded the shaking of this kingdom for the unshakability of the kingdom of God. We are in the water, but we're in the boat in the water. We don't flounder, we don't fear, we float. We're in the water, the water's not in us. Why? Because we have a king who holds it all together. And that king is also our shepherd. And we are his people, chosen, royal, God's special people. By the power of his spirit, we sleep well because we're watched over by our shepherd king. So we sleep in the boat, knowing that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We walk through dark valleys with him at our side. We sleep soundly at night. Why? Because we're held by the shepherd who is also our king. And that's why 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love and self-discipline. That's why we're unshakable, church. That's another kind of life. I'm led by the great shepherd. I'm free forever from condemnation. I'm assured that all things will work together for good. I cannot be separated from the love of God. Anytime you want to say amen, you can. I've been established, anointed, sealed by God. We are citizens of heaven, hidden with Christ in God. We can find grace and we can find mercy to help us in our time of need. We are born of God. We're born of His Spirit, and the evil one cannot touch us. Amen. Amen. Come, let's take a moment and stand together. Thanks, team. You can join us. Come, would you take a moment and lift your hearts to heaven? Some of us need to lift our eyes to heaven. Come on, get your eyes off of what's going on around you and put your gaze on heaven. Some of us need to express ourselves by lifting our hands to heaven. In surrender and in desperation and in submission. Some of us need to do it just because we want to touch heaven. God, I just want to be closer to you. Father, I pray that in these moments, come on, would you do business with your God this morning? You know, we're not Catholic. We don't need a priest to pray for us. The Spirit of God that is at work within us wants to communicate with the God who loves us. So today, make a decision of where he needs to be king and make a decision where he needs to be shepherd. Some of us, the Spirit of God might just be saying, hey, would you let me be king in that? Would you surrender that to me? Would you just give that to me? If you could make me king in that area, I could hold it in my hands. Some of us need to make him a shepherd. Allow him to lead. Decide not to walk the paths that we think would be good, but to walk the paths that he has laid for us. Father, here we are. We are people. We belong to a different kingdom. We're submitted and surrendered to a king who holds it all together. And a king who's our shepherd, and that's why we're unshakable. Right now, as we sing and as we worship, have your will and have your way in us. Begin to move and shake and mold and do what you want to do in us. In Jesus' name.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.